Coronavirus relief negotiations just seem to be getting messier. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Since the president called off coronavirus relief negotiations abruptly between his administration and Democrats in a tweet last week, the White House has been, well, trying to negotiate coronavirus relief. The latest is a $1.8 trillion proposal, and neither Democrats nor the president's own party are happy with it. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Hi, Nova. Well, will you tell us why are both sides of the aisle unhappy with the president's $1.8 trillion proposal?
Right. That offer came Friday, Sabri, and by the weekend, it was clear it was just not going anywhere. Some Republicans say it simply is too expensive. And we've heard that before, that the Republican votes are just not there in the Senate for a broader pandemic relief package. Some senators have called for more targeted aid. Democrats say they're unhappy with how the White House wants to allocate money. For example, they don't believe there's enough being proposed for testing and contact tracing.
Okay, so and now there is another proposal. The White House wants something much smaller, just $130 billion. What are the specifics of that?
So that would be kind of in the meantime thing. That money comes from unused funds in the lapsed Paycheck Protection Program. That was the small business aid to keep workers employed. The White House wants Congress to repurpose that money now, but it didn't specify how it wants the money spent. Anyway, it may be a non-starter. Democrats have previously rejected taking a piecemeal approach, and the White House says it will continue to seek a broader deal.
So where are we going from here? What might that deal look like?
Well, it's interesting because White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow told CNN over the weekend that they may be poised to go higher than the Democrats' last offer. And remember, the Democrats came down from their initial ask, and the White House and Republicans have been saying for months that the Democrats want too much money. But now that may be changing.
All right. Thanks, Nova. Demand for energy, and in particular, fossil fuels, cratered this year, which comes at a really awkward time for natural gas producers in the U.S. They made massive investments in 2019, and now their gas has practically nowhere to go. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The price of natural gas is at historic lows, so the plans to expand existing liquefied natural gas terminals and build more in the U.S. have been put on hold.
They may not be put off forever, some just a couple years, some maybe a bit longer.
That's Joshua Rhodes at the University of Texas Energy Institute. He says this could hurt workers in places like the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana.
You're going to have less need for construction workers. You're going to have less need for the engineers and the overseers on those projects.
And beyond the stalled projects, Rhodes says reduced LNG exports means less work for those who already have jobs in natural gas. Nico Safos at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says because building facilities requires a huge capital investment, they have to remain active for a while.
They take about 5 years to build and they stay online for 20 plus years.
He says that means energy companies have to assume we'll be consuming natural gas for decades, despite accelerating climate change concerns. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. S&P 500 futures are up 0.3%. Dow futures down less than 0.1%. That's just 16 points. NASDAQ futures are up 1.1%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.78%. . 2020 is the worst fire season on record in California, and it is not even over yet. Flames have burned through nearly 4 million acres, almost 8,000 structures. And all of this is starting to have a profound effect on the cost and availability of homeowners insurance, as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Jamie Alexandra and her husband saved for years to buy a house in the Bay Area, and they finally got one in 2016 in the Oakland Hills.
It's really beautiful, and we have all these trees, and, you know, you're so close to town.
But insurance companies look at all those trees and just see them catching fire. 2 years after Alexandra and her husband bought their house, their insurer dropped them. And the only new policy they could find on the traditional market was about four times what they had been paying, almost $13,000 a year.
That was really crazy and was really scary.
She sees a lot of her neighbors in the same position every time she logs on to her local neighborhood message board.
There's literally always a post on saying, hey, we just lost our insurance, or our insurance is, you know, more than doubled, or different things like that.
It's not just Oakland. The same thing is happening all across the state. Amy Bach of the nonprofit United Policyholders says the problem keeps getting worse wherever there are wildfires or hurricanes.
Home insurance now is costing more in areas that are vulnerable to climate change, is harder to find, and is worth less.
That is a big burden for people with lower incomes and older people like Pam Hughes. She's 71, and she's lived in the same house in rural Calaveras County for more than 40 years. Last summer, her insurance company told her it was dropping her policy.
So I called my insurance broker and she said, you know what, you're stuck with California Fair.
That's the state's insurer of last resort. Now she's paying twice what she was before. She says she's thankful that she didn't retire last year as she'd been planning.
So I'm trying to, you know, save as much as I can now for the future because I don't see it going down.
Jamie Alexandra in Oakland doesn't see her insurance premium going down either. She and her husband managed to find something for about $5,500 a year. But getting that quote for $13,000, that made her wary of what the future might cost.
It kind of makes living here not something that you could do in the long term.
She and her husband thought their house in Oakland was where they would be forever. But now she says she's starting to doubt whether they should even be living in California. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.